You're listening to Daybreak on CBC Radio 1. This morning, we bring you a feature story about a remarkable friendship cut short. Carol Taylor was an 80-year-old woman from Kelowna. Anas Kartume is a refugee from Syria. Anas will join us in our studio here in just a few minutes. But we start this morning in Carol's living room.
Testing.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Carol Taylor. I'm a retired public school teacher. Prior to that, I was a registered nurse. I've had the most wonderful life. I've been surrounded by my family and friends in this community and elsewhere. And I'm 80 years old. It's time to move on. And I'm on my way happily.
Carol Taylor died last Wednesday, January 15th. 2 years ago, she had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and a few weeks ago, she was given just 2 months to live. I sat down with her just a few days before she died to hear her story. It's the story of two immigrants to this country, their remarkable friendship, and how they each found freedom here. One, the freedom to live. The other, the freedom to die. Here's their story.
Okay, well, I grew up in a family. They were lefties out of California, San Francisco area. And the Vietnam War was just starting, and one of my brothers was eligible for the draft. And my parents said to him, "You will not fight in any war." So my parents gave their support to my younger brother, who followed me to Canada, because I left the States in protest of the Vietnam War.
Let me show you this picture here. Do you recognize this picture?
Oh, yes. That was in, I would say, 20 years ago. Oh, it was one of the first Pride Parade marches. And that's Eileen Robinson, who is now living at Dorchester, Debbie Helf, who's coming up for my wake. You know Debbie. And there I am. And our sign says, "The Women's Kelowna Women's Book Club supports the Rainbow Coalition." There was a handful of us. Isn't that fun? I'll bet you anything who would send that to you. I showed it to Anas Kartume, and then I was digging through a photo. I said, "Take a look at this, Anas. We were on the front lines 20 years ago. The mayor refused to sign the proclamation, and we were vilified. People said, oh, you drag queen lovers, they were saying terrible things to us." And so, and I said, "I'll take anything you want because I'm getting rid of stuff here." And he took it. I kind of forgot he took it. He has since framed it, and it's in his home. I was so honored that he would do that.
As you might have guessed, Carol has been an activist her whole life. When I arrived at her home, there was a crisp copy of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms lying on the credenza in her foyer, her reading glasses on top. Carol fought against the Vietnam War in the 60s and 70s, against nuclear proliferation in the 1980s, against homophobia in the 90s, as you just heard, and most recently for the right to die. And when the Syrian Civil War erupted and refugees were running for their lives, of course, Carol got involved.
So there was some gathering, and I said, "I've got a house and a few extra rooms. I'm on a bus line. Is there any refugee woman with children that could become, that I could help?" She said, "Well, there is a man who is urgently needing to get out of the Middle East." And I hesitated about a man because I'm a single woman living here on my own. My husband, common law husband, had died a few years earlier, and I was quite comfortable living on my own. And the committee member from the refugee committee said, "What if he's a gay man?" Oh, I said, "Bring him on. I love gay men." And Annis came into my life. One November night, it was cold. He came in with a 22-kilogram suitcase. That's what he brought from the Middle East. He worked in Syria and Iraq. And he came into my life vulnerable. I felt vulnerable, never seen him before. And so it took a few days, but we hit it off and discovered we were on the same moral wavelength. So Annis was a welcome delight into my home. Being a gay man, when he came, he was frightened, vulnerable, not knowing. He was invited to his first gay New Year's party, and I drove him to it. Oh, it was up in Glenmore somewhere, snowing. And then we talked the next morning, and I want to hear all the stories. And I knew some of those guys. I wasn't invited, you see. I was so angry. Anyway, Anna said, Carol, he said, I had my first gay kiss. And he told me about what it was like. And this man kissed him. And Anna was frightened, looking around. Who would tell on him? Who would expose him? Because it just come from the Middle East. They kill you in the Middle East, torture you or something. And then this wonderful gay community embraced Annis.
And she embraced Annis, too. He lived with her for a year and a half until he got a job and an apartment of his own. Slowly but surely, Annis became involved and then well-known in Kelowna's LGBTQ community. Last summer, the Pride Society invited him to be the Grand Marshal of the Kelowna Pride Parade, the same parade that Carol marched in 20 years ago. Annis was reluctant.
Well, he was. You know, he'd been in the country less than a year. And, of course, I encouraged him because he had been doing public speaking. I knew he could speak well. He looks good, and he's proud and out as a gay man. And he, in turn, has influenced younger people in the trans community. And, well, he's influenced all of us. We turn out to the gay. More and more people turn out. My circle of friends are turning out for this because of Annis. He's the example. He's the poster man for inclusion in Canada. Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago, Carol got the bad news. It was a shock, she says. She had expected a couple of more years. Instead, her doctor gave her just 2 months to live. She was already an advocate of medical assistance in dying. She'd been a witness at the deaths of others, and she didn't flinch. But then she had to break the news to Annis.
Because by then, I introducing Annis as my adopted grandson. I've never had children. He's the grandson I would have wished for. And I said, you're my family, Annis. You're the closest one to me. And I have to tell you this. And it was hard for him. Right away the next morning, I emailed him. And I said, this is the most wonderful thing I thank Canada for. I have the right to choose who wants to suffer in their death and not I. And he understood it. He had calmed down. And I was seeing a lot of him before on weekends. He would drop in after work. And then now the countdown has come. And he's here. He's staying overnight. And we have a good time together.
And Annis was there last week at Carol's side when she said goodbye. We'll meet Annis here in just a moment. But just before Carol said goodbye to me, she had one last story. A story about the pianist who was playing at her living wake, set for the night before her death. It's a short little story that took a sudden emotional turn that I wasn't expecting. Have a listen.
She's a terrific pianist. She can play ragtime and you name it. It all has to be upbeat. Because I studied under her for a number of years. And through her, I got gigs. I played piano out at Costco. When they were selling Kauai pianos.
Come on.
Oh, 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 that was my biggest audience ever. Such a fun. I've had a good run, and I'm thankful. Never take it for granted that you're Canadian.
Anas Kartume has been listening to this. He's in our studio. Good morning, Anas.
Good morning.
I'm sorry for the loss of your friend.
Thank you.
What was it like to hear her voice?
Well, it's really difficult, especially that I was looking forward to hear this sign of that she exists, and she is exists always, and her voice never out of my mind. I was delighted to hear her voice again with the same way that she used to talk to me daily. And at the same time, when I am on my own, I start feeling my loss. So it's not easy at all.
We heard about your special relationship from mm-hmm. Carol. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it from you. What did Carol mean to you?
My relation with Carol is more than a friend, more than just roommate, more than anything else. Like, she's my Canadian mother that I really enjoyed and loved since the first time I met her. I knew that we meant to be for each other. Like, we have so many things to, like, mutual things together, and she was like more than anything else. Like, she was my mentor, my mom, my granny, everything to me. Like, she is the one that I feel free to ask whatever I want. Mm. And I know that she's there to support me since the time since the day I arrived, and especially how she stood up for me when I was vulnerable, which this is something I would never forget.
She was a very, very liberal person, and she was not shy about that. You come from a conservative country and culture.
Yeah.
What was it like when those two things came together?
Yeah, that was very unique of Carol. And, you know, as an LGBT person came from conservative country, like, you need liberal people to ask and to see that, to get this feeling that you are okay, you are fine, and everything's going to be fine, especially with people in her age. And she gave me this, like, I was, like, always hesitant and afraid.
She was originally, as we heard, American.
Yes.
You both came to this country for different reasons. Mm-hmm. What did she teach you? And we heard at the end her voice break when she talked about Canada and how important this country and its rights and freedoms were to her. What did she teach you about Canada?
Well, Carol, first of all, that was like the same thing, that we both came from different country, and I will be Canadian soon, and she became Canadian. She denounced her U.S. citizen. She taught me how to be proud as Canadian and how to love Canada. And she was, like, to the last minutes appreciating, and she was, like, very proud of being Canadian. Like, her last minutes before she passed away, she was like, "Thank you, Canada. I had a very nice life. I'm so proud and I'm so happy that I became Canadian." And that's speaks a lot to me.
We heard a little bit from her about her explaining MAID to you. Mm-hmm. She'd been involved as an activist for years with Dying with Dignity. And can you help us understand that conversation from your perspective? What was that conversation like for you?
Yeah, Carol was volunteer witnesses at MAID, and she has been advocating for MAID. To me, MAID is something like new, and especially the culture, the conservative culture, they don't encourage it. And yeah, at the beginning, I was like, okay, the way she explained it and how, like, people die peacefully, and it's a choice. She always identified, like, it's human choice. So I feel like I had the privilege to learn from her about MAID, and I was very passionate about the information she provided me, the stories she told me about a lot of patients that she used to witness, and like how one of the patients, he kissed her hand and he was like, "Thank you so much for doing this."
And she was literally advocating for this until her very last moments. And the morning I met with her, she met with our local member of parliament to advocate for legislative changes. I mean, this went right up to literally her last breath, this advocacy.
Like, she was there to the last minute, and she wanted to play this interview before the 2 weeks' notice for the current consultation, which is very important.
She made me promise.
And I wish, yes, I wish everybody will go to justtest.gov.ca and vote for advancing made and changing the current regulation.
You were at her wake?
Yes,
on Tuesday
night. I was with her every single night since she told me until the very end.
She insisted that the music at her wake be fun and upbeat.
Yes, she does, and it was like very different. Like everybody was happy as she's like going on a flight or traveling for vacation, and she made it like this, and she wanted to be like this, and she always her recommendation, like nobody should cry, and everybody was joyful. But in the same time, when the wake and ended, like okay, I will go to my room and then stop playing this role of like strong person, because in the end, like I have my moment that I will miss her. Like I have the right to miss her. I promise her that I'm not cry, but I can't. I don't want to disappoint her. I've never disappointed her and show her my sadness. But when I am in my room and on my own, I just do it. Like I can't be the same strong person beside her who always support, because missing is so difficult, like feeling the loss and mixed with sadness, and it's something like it's very hard. She's my family, she's my all in Canada, and I lost her.
It's a remarkable friendship.
It is, yeah, and she will be with me every day and every time, and I will never forget. She was the Canadian gift to me, and it's a privilege to me, and it's an honor that I spent last like 20 days in her home and having the chance to say goodbye to her, and I hold her hand to the very end until she felt relaxed, and she was like pretty and smile, very nice face, very peaceful dying, and she was happy to the very end. She was, her last word was, thank you Canada, thank you Bill C-14, and thank you mate, and thanks for all of her friends. That was so remarkable.
Anas, it's been great to talk to you today, and I'm sorry again for your loss.
Thank you.
Thank you so much again.
Thanks for having me.
Anas Cartamé lives in Kelowna. Carol Taylor's dying wish was that people weigh in on proposed changes to the legislation governing medically assisted death. That consultation closes on Monday.